Rediscovering Richmond is made possible by Historic Richmond Foundation, working to promote, protect, and preserve Richmond's architectural history with the goal of economic progress and cultural enrichment. Online at historicrichmond.com.
Commentator Brooke Smith is rediscovering Richmond's historic places and spaces. And today, Brooks, we're going to talk about a location in Richmond that recently was named one of the top 10 public spaces in America.
That's right, Wayne. What an exciting and well-deserved recognition for Maymont Park to be awarded this distinction by the American Planning Association, joining such iconic pier spaces as Central Park in New York, the Four Squares of Savannah, Georgia, and Lincoln Park in Chicago. I think best known to us in Richmond as everybody's backyard.
Well, tell us something of the history of the park.
It started as pasture and field. It was bought by Major James Dooley as a gift for his wife, Sally May, the namesake of the park, in 1886. And they conjured up a mansion of Gilded Age glamour in the vein of Carnegie or Rockefeller or Vanderbilt. Their mansion was finished in 1893, and they spent several decades after outfitting the space with treasures from all around the world. So you have this incredibly unique urban but rural park, 100 acres large, with the mansion and lawns and manicured gardens and arboretum, a sanctuary, a nature center, and today, of course, it's free and open to the public almost every day of the year.
And it's also known to parents of young children for its animal farm on
one
edge of the park.
So here's a neat thing. When Major Dooley passed away in 1922 and his wife Sally May in 1925, they bequeathed the property to the city for the benefit of all the people of Richmond, and it's been used for that purpose ever since. The city actually opened it as a public park just 6 months after Mrs. Dooley died. Several decades later, in 1975, Maymont Foundation formed to help the city manage and promote and preserve the park. And I'm struck by their very simple and singular mission, which is to preserve and celebrate Maymont for the pleasure and education of everyone.
And as you say, now it's been recognized as one of the top 10 public spaces. What do you think the main features were that won it that distinction?
I thought it was telling that the APA in their announcement said that the beauty of Maymont lies partly in its ability to be different things to different people. And as we in Richmond know, all of us who live and love Maymont, is that it is a place for courting. It's a place for contemplation and discovery and enchantment. Frankly, it's a place for plain old fun, which is what a lot of us have done over the years at Maymont Park.
Yeah. It's certainly a gem of greenery within the urban environment, like so many cities aspire to if they don't actually possess such a unique place.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I can't help but reflect that when I started this series with you several years ago, I tried to tackle Maymont in prose, and I was struck with the wildness of the place, again, because it's in the city, but yet it has vestiges of such wildness and wild things like bears and bison. But it truly is a remarkable space. I know I'm not charting any new ground here because it is much loved and well-known among Richmonders, but I thought if I took a moment to pause and remember the Dooleys themselves, here you had Major Dooley, one of the city's most famous sons of a Irish immigrant, brilliant legal mind, a public servant in the House of Delegates, and a very successful industrialist. He was deeply involved in the community, and I was interested to remember that he was part of an educational association that advocated universal public education. He was also the president of the Richmond Arts Club, which was one of the forebears of our Arts Council, now known as CultureWorks. Sally May, in equal form, was deeply involved. She left a huge bequest to the Richmond Public Library. And I had confess, I forgot that among her many talents as horticulturalist and artist and poet, she was the author of a book called Dem Good Old Times, which was published by Doubleday back in 1906. So it might be one of those rare finds that you can get at Black Swan or elsewhere around town.
All right. Any final thoughts?
I'll see you there.
Okay. Thanks to Brooke Smith, Rediscovering Richmond.